Cebu Community Radio is the proud co-sponsor of the Worldbeat PDX monthly series featuring Wamba on Thursday, May 12th at the Analog Cafe in Portland. Wamba plays percussive jazz and funk with a strong Worldbeat influence and will be playing two sets that evening. Again, that's Wamba on Thursday, May 12th at the Analog Cafe, 720 Southeast Hawthorne Boulevard in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
You're listening to KBOO Portland. The time is 5:59. And next is Bread and Roses. KBOO is in spring membership drive. If you have not yet become a KBOO member, please give us a call right now at 877-500-5266 or go online at kboo.fm to pledge your support to your community radio station.
At the dawn of the day, all the darkened kitchens, the mill of gray, all touched by the radiance that the sun discloses. Oh, hear the people singing bread and roses.
Hello,
no, that's
and okay. We are Bread and Roses. This is Kitchen Table Conversations, and I'm Mary Postwaite. Co-hosting is Adrian Livingston.
Hello, hello.
Engineering will be Delphine Catrenzo.
Hello, hello, everyone.
In studio, we have Latasha Curry.
Hello.
Charlize Wakefield.
Hi.
And Robin Miller.
Hello.
Sherry Bray. She's another one that's in studio. Okay, so before we start, I want to say something. All over Facebook, I've been noticing things about bullying, and two young ladies have lost their lives recently, one by her own hand, and one by a group of girls in the school bathroom. She got jumped, and, excuse me, and traumatic head injury killed her. And I just, you know, ever since I saw it, it's been on my mind. And I just want to say that, you know, I was bullied when I was a kid, and it's a serious issue. And sometimes, you know, adults out there and parents out there, sometimes our children don't know how to say something to us. And we have to look and see the signs of things like that going on and open the conversation to our kids, saying that it's okay that they come to you and tell you that they won't be in trouble or whatever. It's very tragic that I've been seeing this on TV. And I just wanted to put it out there that, you know, bullying is not okay. And if you see somebody who's being bullied, or even if you are a bully, stop it. You know, say something. Go to somebody. Help them. It's something that is very serious. And I just kind of wanted to touch on that. And, you know, whoever out there is being bullied, there is somebody out there for you. And you do matter. So I want you to remember that. So today we're going to be talking about sex trafficking and modern-day slavery. As my listeners know, I'm very open about my life and my past. So I worked the streets for quite a few years, and you know, it was a lifestyle that it had its ups and downs. However, most of us here in the room are survivors of sex trafficking. And so we'll hear a little bit of everybody's story and, you know, how they got to where they are today. We have a few minutes, so I would like Adrian to talk about her more than a survivor story.
Right. So as we get started on this subject, there is a traveling photo exhibit called More Than a Survivor, More Than a Story. And it's created by GEMS, which is Girls Educational Mentoring and Mentoring Services in New York City. It honors victims of human trafficking who are now survivors, who are leaders. It celebrates their individuality, their beauty, their strength, and accomplishments, and a future beyond the trauma and stereotypes of sexual exploitation. The exhibit gets started and is launched here in Portland, Oregon at City Hall May 9th, and then it goes for about, it's May 10th, and so it goes for until June 10th, and it's going to be, as it's called a traveling exhibit, so it's going to be at different places like Portland State University, etc. If you want to see where it's at and you want to go, go to the website. It's insextraffickingnow.org. Again, insextraffickingnow.org. It's an awesome photo exhibit of women who are amazing and true survivors. Now, the two ladies that are here with us, both Latasha Curry and Robin Miller, we again have more individuals in the studio, but these two ladies will actually also be sitting on some panels within this traveling photo exhibit as well. Do either of you have anything to add to that?
I'll be at PSU on May 16th. I'll be at
4 to 6,
and I'll be at PCC, and also at David Douglas, and I'll be at City Hall.
The City Hall event is Mayor Charlie Hale will be presenting. Deputy District Attorney J.R.U. Defusa, and I believe Jerry Jimenez is going to be the survivor who was actually showcased in the More Than a Survivor exhibit.
Wonderful.
That's cool.
Yeah, and then also tomorrow, Saturday, the City of Roses, there is actually a parade that's going down the street 82nd and East Portland Rotary. We have the person that's in charge of the End Sex Trafficking Now Committee, Dana Clark, and the whole committee. We will be marching down 82nd in orange to bring awareness to this issue. So anyone that wants to join us, the parade, I believe, starts around 9:30 on 82nd over by Eastport, the Joann's Fabrics over in Eastport. So that's also happening tomorrow. So a lot of stuff that's going on that people can come out to.
Ooh, I like parades.
Yes.
Cotton candy, that's my favorite. So tell us a little bit about your organization, YAYA.
Well, YAYA, it stands for Youth and Young Adults. It's a nonprofit organization where I do mentoring, early intervention on sex trafficking. I deal with families, I deal with individuals, I deal with people that may be involved in sex trafficking or people that are at risk at becoming sex trafficked.
Oh, okay. Right on. And where can they, if they want to look it up or call?
They can give me a call at 503-875-1106, or they can go to my website, which is yayaresources.org, or they can email me at yayaresources@gmail.com. And again, I'm in the community all the time.
Absolutely. So, again, this is about sex trafficking and modern day slavery, and that was Latasha speaking, and I've known her for quite some time. We have history together, so you know, that's kind of one of the reasons why I wanted her to come on the show, is because, you know, like I always say, everybody's got a story to tell. So we also have her niece in studio. Can you say hi?
Hi.
How are you today?
Good.
What do you think about what I'm talking about? Do you know anything about that?
Yes, I know a lot.
Yeah? Can you tell me what you know real quick?
I know that it's very bad, and you shouldn't be living that lifestyle, and yeah.
Yeah.
And how old are you, so our listeners know?
11.
11.
That's right. 11 years old. She's very smart, you guys. I'm just very artistic.
Yeah.
So tell me, how has it impacted you as far as your life?
Seeing my auntie going through it, it hurts me a little bit.
Yeah, I understand. I have children of my own, and they're the same as you. They get it too. It's really hard to sit here and to watch a young lady say that, because, you know, as a young lady, thank God that she had somebody for her to show her that that's not okay, you know, whereas some of us didn't have that. And it's hard just knowing that our children know about that, that, you know, she's 11 years old and she's already so knowledgeable about something like this, as far as her impact in her family. Why don't you tell the folks out there a little bit about you and where you come from?
Well, I got into the lifestyle.
This is Latasha Curry.
I got into the lifestyle of being sex trafficked at the tender age of 13. I was impacted by an older guy, which was at that time my pimp. I was young. I started running away from home. I was what you consider a daddy's girl, and I now understand, being trauma informed, that, you know, I was dealing with my own issues as far as seeing my dad get sick, and I didn't know how to address those feelings, and so I ran, and there was a young man out there that was looking for someone that was, you know, feeling the feelings I was having at the time, and he preyed on my innocence, and one thing led to another, and shortly after that I was in San Francisco, and I left at 14, and I didn't speak to my mother, my sister, or my brother from 14 to 18. And I would call my dad because he had a separate phone number in the same house, and he knew where I was, but, you know, that was kind of our bond. But it was hurtful to me. It was, you know, not being able to talk to your family. It was a shame, and yeah.
Yeah, I understand. Did you hear that? 13 years old. You know, that's the average age of a young person who is being preyed upon. You know, these topics that we talk about are very important. You hear them here on KBOO.
And only on KBOO, Mary. What an amazing moment here on Bread and Roses. Like, we bring you so many times here in on this feminist program that has been in existence for almost 40 years. It's been 38 years, folks, that Bread and Roses has been what it is, bringing you the voices that you hear tonight. 877-500-5266 is the number to call to pledge your support to community radio. I'm Delphine Crescenzo. I'm a collective member of Bread and Roses, a very proud collective member. I have been for almost 5 years now, and what an honor to be part of a legacy where women have passed on this torch. Not only just a space for a voice for sharing our stories, but also for training each other on how to be producers and how to be engineers and how to do all these things. And we can only do this, listeners, because you are helping us with your financial contribution. 877-500-5266 is the number to call to pledge your support to your community radio station. We're just looking for you to share a very small amount every month, maybe $5 that you can share with KBOO. You know, you buy yourself a cup of coffee, and you can buy KBOO a cup of coffee too for about $5 a month. And when you contribute $5 a month, we know the money is coming. It helps us be more sustainable, and our volunteers are ready to take your information. We just need your credit card information, your checking account information, your debit card information. It takes just a few minutes to talk to our volunteers. 877-500-5266. You can also donate online at kboo.fm. I'm very lucky to be joined with Ender. Hey, Ender, how are you?
Hey, how are you? I'm doing well, thank you.
Yeah, we missed you last night on Rose City Native Radio. Ender is one of the contributors to the Native program, Rose City Native Radio, on Thursdays. Mm-hmm. But I loved your segment.
I also help out with Voices for the Animals.
That's
true. Which
is a
really great monthly show that is really focused on animals and the suffering they go through. And talking about this, you know, like, you... What better way to support what people have to say about all the injustices that take place, not only in our world, but in the animal world, than supporting a community radio station like KBOO? I think it's like a good, very good karmic thing to do.
It really is. 877-500-5266 is the number to call, folks. Pledge your support. Give us $5, $10, $15. Maybe you can actually afford $100 a month to share with KBOO. It's painless, and we know it's coming. It makes us feel good and secured, and it helps perpetuate this space, just like Bread and Roses, that has been shared by women for years and years and years. And let's go back to the amazing Mary Postlethwaite and Adrienne Livingston bringing you tonight such an important conversation about sex trafficking and slavery.
Thank you, Delphine. And I want to say, I went online the other day, and I just wanted to see and look up, you know, maybe get a little bit more information. And I found some statistics on there, and, you know, I found some very interesting information on there that I did not know. You know, from 2009 to 2014, 469 identified sex trafficking victims
yes.
were reported, but that was only identified.
Right.
So, and
in Multnomah County.
Right. Right. And for that 469, there's at least 10 other women out there. And I'm like, that's a lot of people, you know. So as I'm reading these things, I go down and I'm seeing the comments, and I'm getting upset because I'm seeing people who deny that these people who are being trafficked are victims. And, you know, being the person who I am and understanding what I understand now, as opposed to when I was younger, it hurt me to see that, because they don't understand. When you're in that, you are a victim. What do you think about people saying that?
Well, they don't understand that you're a victim because they feel that it's your own free will, it's your choice, and they don't understand that you're either coerced, manipulated, or you feel the shame and blame that you mm-hmm. don't know how to get out. You may want to get out.
You're isolated.
Yeah, and know? So it's the only lifestyle that you know, and it begins to feel comfortable to you.
It's familiar.
Yes, very familiar.
Yeah, like someone asked me the question, I said exactly. They said, what young girl wakes up one day and says,
I want to be a prostitute.
Exactly. Like, really? Yeah, someone wakes up and says that. No, yeah, they don't.
No, they don't.
At 13, no. I never woke up and said, I want to be a prostitute.
Me either.
Neither did I.
So, Robin, tell me what you think about those people out there who would say that, you know, I have a saying, you're only a victim once.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I say that because if you knowingly go into a situation and you already know what's happening and you already know what's going to happen, then to me, you're not a victim because you're doing it on your own free will. However, when you're a young girl or boy,
underage,
you're not doing it of your own free will. You're doing it as a victim. And what do you think?
Well, even as grown women, you know, a lot of you hear the statistic, the average age between 12 and 14. A lot of those women end up in the life for 30 years, but many do.
Many.
Most, you know, unfortunately, women pass away before they get to be adults or what have you. But I think, you know, the coercion part, you know, is huge. And that was a lot of what happened to me. I was coerced into believing this man was going to love me.
Exactly.
And he was going to change.
Mm-hmm.
And I believed, you know, I believed that he would change one day if I just did this enough or did that enough or loved him longer or prayed more, you know. Even in my addiction and on the streets, I prayed a lot, and he never did change. But I, you know, these men who exploit girls, women, boys, they look for those holes. They look for those desperate needs that
yes.
we have
mm-hmm.
to, they just go in. That's what they do. They go yes. in on that.
They go in for the prey.
Absolutely.
So,
yeah.
I think you can be a victim,
even
if you know what's going on. You know, you just so desperately want it to stop, but you know,
you don't
want to walk away
exactly.
either, because and the pain is so it's more comfortable because you don't know what. You don't know life without it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think people buy into that she's choosing to be out
mm-hmm.
there, because what they say is, oh, that person told me that she's out there or she's doing it on her own.
Oh,
and what I know is that it's an act. You have to
mm-hmm.
act like you want to be there because you have a quota to make.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, if you're not acting, that person's probably not going to want to be serviced, right?
Absolutely.
So it's like, I have to act.
Right.
And the unfortunate thing is, not only does that person that's purchasing commercial sex at that time, but the whole world buys it
right.
and it's a lie. That
yes.
person has to act that, you know, they want to be out there.
And if you're out on the streets and you tell them that you have a pimp, then they're not going to feel sorry for you. But if you're with a John and you tell him, I don't have a pimp, I'm doing this for X, Y, Z, you've been taught, you've kind of been groomed and trained to say what you have to say to a John. So you're not going to tell him I have a pimp, you know. That's part of the grooming process. So a lot of women that are out there, they have pimps, and it's just like they don't want to talk about it.
No, because, you know, they don't want to get in trouble.
Well, absolutely.
Of course, they don't want them to get in trouble.
Exactly.
You know, and let's keep it real, you know. I mean, they do. And it's not a glamorous lifestyle, believe it. Well,
they're
to me, it's not glamorous.
It's not glamorous.
When you're in it, it could be.
To a young lady that's 11, 12, 13, or 14.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, it's like, she doesn't.
Glitz and gold and glamour.
It's a lie.
Yeah, she may be at home and she might be facing some family issues. The family may be dysfunctional, but she feels like, with this young man, I have a sense that I'm free. I'm making my own decisions. When all actuality, you're not making your own decisions. You're being coerced or manipulated or forced to make the decisions that you're making. And no young lady at 11, 12, 13, or 14 wants to be a prostitute.
Nor can they make that decision for themselves. In such depth that they understand all the impact of what's going to happen when they make that decision.
I don't even believe that women, again, so I work with adult women, an adult being 18, which I don't necessarily buy into that, as making that choice either. I mean, I don't believe they want to be prostitutes.
Right.
I don't even like that word.
I don't either.
And so I have a hard time when women, you know, are empowered and I'm a sex worker and I'm doing this. And again, going back to what Adrian said, that when you were six, is that what you wanted to be?
Not at all.
No, I wanted to be Barbie.
And you're I wanted to be an Olympic gymnast.
What did you want to be, Latasha?
I thought I was next Kim Fields. Off of 2D. Facts of Life.
Nice.
But big dreams.
Yeah. But I think I kind of lost my train of thought, what I was going to say about adult women wanting to be in that life.
I don't necessarily think it's
they're still exploited.
They want to.
They are.
Even if
there's something that's making them.
They get entrapped with a lifestyle. You know, either a lot of the women that have been in the lifestyle, they end up using drugs. Mm-hmm. They're detached away from their families, their children.
Absolutely.
And so it's all the hurt, the guilt, and the shame. And that's their mechanism, whether it's using drugs or, you know, selling their body so they don't have to face reality. And that's why it's great, all the work that we are doing here, because we begin to pour into them to tell them it's not your fault, that you can do better. And so, but it's just identifying who these young ladies are and taking what they already have in them and building upon that.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And,
so if I can ask a question, how did you... Oh, actually, before we go to the question, because I think it's a really good one, we want to talk about, KBOO, you get to hear these really deep, in-depth conversations. We cannot do it without your support. So we're going to go ahead and have Dale share with you a little bit more about how you can support KBOO Radio.
Thank you. Thank you, Adrian. And thank you, Mary. Thank you to the guest for being so... so generous with sharing your stories. I just have to say thank you. Stories and experiences are really gifts that people share with us. And wow, this is kind of a special moment here on Bread and Roses, like we have so often, where you have members of the community just like you, just like I, who take on the airwaves, who've been trained to share with you very pertinent information. But these folks are also community members who come with their own expertise, and only on KBOO can you find such expertise. It's community lived life experiences expertise only on your community radio station. 877-500-5266 is the number to call for you, so that you can share your support, your financial support with your community radio station. We're not looking for much, folks. We're looking for just a few dollars that you can share with us every month. Maybe $5, maybe $10, maybe anything in between, even 8.37 cents would work. Whatever it is that you can afford, you create what works for you, for your your budget. Maybe you're buying yourself a cup of coffee, you know, this morning. Well, buy KBOO a cup of coffee too. $5, $5 goes to KBOO. It's just a really, really simple way to think about it. Maybe you also would like to give an hour of what you make as your wage. Maybe you make $15 an hour. Maybe you make minimum wage. Please consider giving this amount just once a month to KBOO, and that would bring us such a long way. 877-500-5266 or kboo.fm is another very simple, easy way to donate. Ender, what do you say to folks? Why should they donate?
Well, I think people are capable of donating. I was actually talking to my friend earlier about how people spend money. We all do. Like my family, we all spend money on cable, on internet service, on cell phone service. These are like basics, and we're talking about like $40, $50, $60 a month and more, especially if you're getting cable from the major cable provider. And and these things, you know, people just spend those because they assume they are pretty basic, right? And I think community radio could be added to that list, you know. Yeah. Very like basic modern life type of thing, right? You know?
And it would be the cheapest bill too, because $5 a month, that's a very, very cheap bill.
Yeah, and definitely worth it. This is, you know, this is KBOO.
877-500-5266 is the number to call. You can also go to kboo.fm. We need your credit card information or your debit card information or your checking account information, and talk to our volunteers. They're waiting for you. Actually, there's another way that you can actually donate, and that's by coming into the station, which is what Aaron just did. And I would like to welcome Aaron from Portland, who is a brand new member. And he came here in person. And he also walked out with a thank you gift, because anytime that you donate to us, we want to show you a token of our appreciation by giving you a thank you. 877-500-5266 is the number to call. Aaron decided to walk out with a beautiful Flower Tower shirt. We have a radio tower just surrounded by amazing flower design. This shirt could be yours for $5 per month, a total contribution of $60 per year. We like having the monthly, small, sustaining contributions, because we know it's coming, and that makes us feel good. That makes us feel secure. That makes us feel that we can keep bringing you programs like Bread and Roses. But we have other thank you gifts. Maybe you are wanting to see Amy Goodman here in Portland next Sunday. There's a limited number of pair of tickets that you can get. The show is sold out, but we still have some tickets for $20 a month. You donating to KBOO, you could get those tickets to Amy Goodman. 877-500-5266 is the number to call. We're listening to Bread and Roses. Adrian and Mary are your host this evening, and they are bringing you an amazing group of guests who are sharing with us, let's be very thankful, amazing stories. Thank you.
And thank you, Delphine and Aaron, for coming in and donating. Again, she's right. This is community radio, and this is where you hear the most impactful stories. And we have a surprise guest, and I'm very excited. Everybody knows that I'm very much for the younger generation. I'm very excited to have Latasha's daughter come in. This is Deonica Curry. How are you today?
I'm good.
Good. I'm glad that you came. My daughter has been on the show. I have told a little bit of brief history about my story, and you know, asked her a few questions, and I'm glad you showed up, because you are the younger generation under us, and you're the target audience for me. You're the ones that I want to understand that there's people for you. How do you feel? What were you thinking as you were growing up, knowing that your mom was in the lifestyle?
It was something that I've known my whole life, so she never. Or at least I can't remember her actually sitting down telling me, but she always talked about it with us and was very honest. And so as a child, I never really knew there was anything wrong with it, in the sense of like, I was never ashamed of what she did. I knew that she wasn't happy about what she did, but she was always open and honest with me. And I think that was the best thing that she could have did, because when I got older and people started to say, your mom used to be this, your mom used to be that, in a negative way, I already knew. And she was honest with me and showed me, told me the signs and things like that.
And that is so important. You know, that's exactly how I am with my children. I'm very honest about things that have gone on in my life. And, you know, because I feel like if somebody else was to tell them or that came out the wrong way, that I would look stupid in my children's eyes. So I had to let them know. And as I was saying before, we heard Delphine, that we are our best defense for you guys against the tragic world out there. And if you don't know, then you may fall prey or victim to the life also. What would you say to a young lady out there that's your age or younger that, you know, maybe is or has talked about or is even showing the signs of going that way? What would you say to her?
I would say that it's, I know that like when they get drawn into that life, it's because it seems glamorous and like my family's bad or I don't have any other way. And I just want them to know that you're young, you have friends, you have family. There are people you can talk to. There are places like Yaya and other programs, school counselors, friends who you can go to. It may seem like the best way or like this guy loves you and trusts you and cares for you, but anyone who wants you to sell your body isn't the person for you. And this isn't it's not an option at all. You have true options. No one who cares for you ever wants you to do that. And just reach out, ask somebody, talk to someone. There are people, and it may not seem like it, but you have people.
Absolutely.
So just reach out.
Yeah. You're right. Absolutely.
So being that you knew what your mom was doing as you were being raised, I often get from parents, how early should I speak with my kids about this? And it's the issue of, we're going to talk about sex trafficking, we have to talk about sex. Mm-hmm. That can be a very challenging conversation mm-hmm. for parents to have. So at what age do you think this conversation should start?
For me, I wrote it in a poem, but I remember the first time that I can vividly remember is I was 3 years old. And like I said, I don't remember us actually sitting down, but I do remember her saying it honestly. And you have to know, like, you don't want to bombard a child at any age with information. You have to know how much your child is ready for. And I think that, like, the earlier the better, because the last thing you ever want someone to do is tell your child something that you should have told them. Or even with the sex talk, you don't want it to be too late, someone to touch your child or anything like that. So those conversations should start earlier in life. The later you wait, the more naive your children are going to be. So me personally, I value the fact that my mom told me at such a young age, and it helped me along the way.
That's great.
I was going to say, I absolutely think that they should start talking about this in grade school and start talking about what is safe, what's safe touch, what happens if somebody is hurting you at home or, you know, at your mother's friend's house or your dad's, you know, your cousin's, anywhere, and try to just build them up so that they feel safe coming to an adult to talk about it, because all they've heard is if you tell, you're going to get it and something's going to happen. And we know that when this is happening to these children, it's going to then make them even more of a target for trafficking in the future.
Absolutely.
Like, so right. Then when they're 12, they haven't told, and they're, it's eating them up inside. And then, you know, these guys, again, they're professionals.
Mm-hmm. Psychological manipulators.
And they know exactly where to go and what to say, and they will use that. So I think, yeah, talking to them in school and then the awareness and starting prevention in middle mm-hmm. schools. They're starting to take programs into schools, in the middle schools and stuff.
And I think the worst thing that parents can say in a family unit is what happens in this house stays in
Absolutely.
This house. That's an old cliche myth.
Yes,
you need
is.
To talk about it. You need to trust, whether it's your counselor, whether it's someone in your family you can talk to, you need to get out and talk about it. So many times in family units, they want to sweep it under the rugs. And obviously, no matter how you look at it, there's something happening to make a child want to run away mm-hmm. or
yes.
be defiant to start prostituting at a young age of 13 or 12. For me, I was able to identify it was the attachment that I had with my father and his closeness, not being able to, you know, go and do the things that we're doing. I was upset, I was angry, and someone preyed upon it. But we have to talk about it. It's the communication is very important.
I'm so glad you brought that up, because as I talk about this subject when I'm in the community, I'd say you can't treat this situation in isolation. It is not one issue. A lot of times you'll have, you know, what makes someone vulnerable is because there was abuse in the background. It could have been just neglect, you know, the lack of love. It's maybe so much shelter they're trying to burst out. So these predators, they look for whatever crack there is, and they
seek their way
go
in.
Right into it. So we can't treat it in isolation.
No,
you know what, Adrian, you said
it's
a big point about love. It's one to be loved, one to feel that you're appreciated, and that's where it starts. So they'll give you love, but it's false love, it's false hope. It's on the pretense of, I'm going to give you this, but the price you're going to pay for this is so much higher.
Absolutely. Right.
There's a pimp. Oh, okay, so a quote that a friend showed me from a pimp. I don't know who it was. I didn't see the name, but it was,
Tell me. We don't want to give him any shouts out today.
It's called, basically what he said is, I will sell the girl the dream of heaven, and she will follow me to hell.
Absolutely.
That's absolutely true.
And it is. It is true. And Marshalia, if you're listening, I want you to call in, because I would like my listeners to hear your side too. You know, they're right. When I'm shaking my knee, I have a nervous habit. When, you know, like I said, we're our best defense for our children. And saying that, I mean, you know, if we're honest with our kids and we let them know what life is, there's people out there, there's situations out there, there's things out there that, you know, you cannot be around your child 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, all the time.
You know, I think it's really important that you have that open dialect with not only your children, your nieces, even your nephews. I believe that it's also needed in churches, because everyone has a stereotype that church girls are, you know, they've been sheltered all their lives. So it needs to be talked about in churches. No one is exempt to sex trafficking.
There's no
gray area. It's either black or white. Right. I mean, if you slip through, I believe once you run away within the first 24 hours, you're at risk of coming in contact with a pimp.
Oh, absolutely.
You know? And so when you run away the first time, your parents are going to be in a frantic, and, you know, they're going to do the proper procedures. Then you run away a second time, they're going to do it again. But when you run away a third and fourth time, they're just like, oh, that's just Sally running away. Mm-hmm. And that's the gateway to you getting involved deeper and deeper with a guy giving you whatever it is. So the rule in my house growing up was, every part of this house, yes, we share this living quarters, but this is not only your room, this is our room. Your Facebook page is our Facebook page. Parents always, well, I'm going to give them their space. And you can't afford to give them their space, because you'll blame yourself in the long run. And
absolutely.
We have to talk about it. It has to be an open dialogue.
I've always told my listeners, be a proactive parent. Be that parent. Be the nosy parent. Be the one that your kids get irritated with because you won't leave them alone. Be the parent that asks the questions. Be the parent that says the things that, you know, maybe might be embarrassing for some people to say. You know,
I'm that parent.
I was, you know, definitely that parent.
Sometimes it's hard for people to bring these kinds of topics up. For me, it's not. For me, I have no problem whatsoever. I've never really had that kind of an issue. But I do know that some people do have that issue with being able to talk to their children and bring these kinds of things up.
You know, what's difficult is because so many times we hear parents saying that I'm my kid's friend. Well, each child is different when you parent them. Being a parent, it doesn't come with any instructions.
No.
You know, you can test drive your car, you can go to your apartment and decide, this is the one I want to rent out. But when you get a parent, you just want to do the best that you can. So in saying that, you have to always want the best for your child. By educating them is the best that you could give to them, especially coming from the lifestyle that we came from. I couldn't imagine no one telling my daughter, if I had kept it from her when she turned 13 or 14, they could say whatever they wanted to say, and it could have turned the whole perception of how she looked at me. But by me being honest and open with her, she loved me unconditionally, and we were able to work through it. And we're still working through it, because us three ladies sitting here, you know, we're no longer in that lifestyle and we're doing positive things, but there's issues that arise.
Absolutely.
And it takes us back to that dark place, but we have the strength to keep moving mm-hmm. forward.
Yeah. Yeah. So for our listeners, I think, help them understand, what was it that helped you all to get out of the lifestyle?
Jesus.
You okay. took the words out of my mouth. It was God.
Absolutely. praying parents.
Say that, Robin.
Church. Mm-hmm. Church family. I grew up in a Lutheran church, very whitewashed, and mm-hmm. they prayed for me. I was on the street for 6 years, and they prayed for me every week, like with, you know, Peter, Paul, and Mary. They said my name, Peter, Paul, Mary, and Robin. and then my parents started going to this church. My mom works in a school, and a church was meeting there, and so they went to this church, and they got there, and my dad used to go. He went to the Lutheran church on Easter, Christmas, what have you. Well, he started going, and in the first, like, he's not listening, so I could say, in the first church service, he was weeping. And they were going to Bible study that next Wednesday, and my mother heard one of the parishioners, I guess that's an old whitewashed term for a church member, too. They were talking about having an addictions ministry, and my mom ran up to him and told him, my daughter, you know, and told him what was going on with me. And they prayed for me that night, and they prayed collectively as a church mm-hmm. family, and, you know, in somebody's home eating together, and they prayed, and I was home in 2 weeks.
Amen. So what supports did you need to make sure you stayed out of it?
Well, I had an addiction to crack cocaine at the time, so I needed intensive residential treatment, mm-hmm. and I did that, followed by some, I think, like it was like 60 days altogether, 30 of which was very intensive. You couldn't leave, and then the last 20 some days I could kind of come and go. Interestingly enough, it was in the same the town that my exploiter was living, and I stayed in that treatment center, and then I came home, and I lived in an Oxford house, which is clean and sober housing, and I stayed there for 3 years. And so I, you know, I support. Mm-hmm. We didn't have programs then that were specific to, you know, sexual exploitation and the things that happen in the life. Today we have, there are so many, like you got Yaya, you know, mm-hmm. in Portland now, and I'm so excited.
Surprisingly, they're very recent. I mean, these yes. programs are. They should have been implemented years and years ago, when, you know, I wasn't like, it wasn't the church mm-hmm. or whatever. I'm not a religious person, as I've told my listeners before. It was my daughter. Mm-hmm. And I had given up 2 kids. You know, it just, the life had taken over me. And it was the money that kept me there for so long.
Yeah.
And fear, you know, but it was my daughter, Marshalia, that, you know, she had never seen any kind of violence or whatever, and she was still so innocent, and even though she was there, she was so little, she didn't know what was going on, and I didn't want her to. I didn't want her to live that kind of lifestyle, and I knew when she was born that there was something bigger in her, and so I decided that it was time to come home, and it was hard. It was really, really hard. My man at the mm-hmm. time, he had gone to jail, and I was alone, and I didn't know what to do. I was like, oh my goodness, what's going on? And it was hard. It was real, real hard, but I did it. And I'm home now, and I've been here since 2000.
Amen.
You know, and that's just the way it goes. I happened to call one of my regulars, you know, in another state. And was
what's
like,
a hey. Regular?
right? Let me explain what a regular is to everybody. This is terminology. No, he was one of my really good tricks, or Johns, or regulars, or whatever you want to call
There's
him.
There's probably some regulars out there listening.
Probably.
Yep. Right.
And how are you doing? anyway, that was a joke. Yeah. Anyway, so he helped me come back home, and, you know, I thank him for that.
Amen.
And
I want to thank everyone for listening. We want to tell you again how you can support this wonderful community radio station, KBOO Portland.
Well, thank you, Adrian. I'm actually crying because I know Mary so well, and I know Marcellia so well. And every time I hear this story, I cry. Wow. Thank you, Mary, for gifting our community with this story. I'm sure I touched you like it touches me every time. 877-500-5266 is the number to call to show your support to Community Radio Station, where we actually cry on the air, folks. I'm really sorry. I'm embarrassed, but I'm just going to do it. 877-500-5266 or kboo.fm. I just don't know. I've never been part of anything else like KBOO. Something that we try to do here. We try to share the love and share the message and share information and share experiences, because only when we do we actually know how to support each other and how to come to solutions together that actually work for all of us. Only when we hear what's really happening, what's really going on, what the terminology means, what all of these things impact us and our young people and our young women. Only when we know that are we actually able to find appropriate solutions to what's going on and to what's potentially hurting our youth and women out there. 877-500-5266 is the number to call to pledge your support to Community Radio and share with us a little bit of your financial wealth. We're not asking for much, just a few dollars per month that you could share with us, spare with us, so that we can continue doing this amazing work and we can continue to build community together, inform each other about what it is to be in each other's feet, in each other's shoes, and create, I don't know, love, community. What are we doing here, Ender? Wow. What are we doing?
We are definitely doing our best to express what the mainstream media doesn't.
Yeah,
which
that's
is what people
do.
Suffer and people go through because of injustice. And we're here to, well, sometimes make people uncomfortable with some truth.
Yeah.
But in the end, it's for the better.
You're amazing. That's exactly what I needed to hear. 877-500-5266. Ender is 17, folks, and he is a KBOO volunteer just like me. He is part of the Rose City Native Radio crew, and he's been introduced to this community radio family, and we are so thankful that he is here. We're so thankful for Mary, for Adrian, for the conversations that they bring forward. If you are thankful as well, please give us a call right now at 877-500-5266. Share with us just a little bit of your financial wealth. As I was saying, we're not asking for much. If you have your credit card number, your bank account number, your debit card number, please give our volunteers a call and they will walk you through this very easy process. You share with them how much you are comfortable giving to KBOO every month, and very gently every month it will come out of your account. You won't even realize it. This is the way I have been contributing, one of the way that I have been contributing to KBOO. But this is how I give my financial wealth, by giving a small donation every month that comes out of my checking account. I don't even really pay attention to it, but I do know that every time I tune into KBOO, well, I do know that I'm going to get high quality programming anytime, amazing music that you cannot hear anywhere else, but also that I am actually going to be part of the solution, be part of pushing the conversation. 877-500-5266 is the number to call. You can also go to kboo.fm and click on donate, and you can also come and meet us here. Maybe give us a hug, you know, give us a little bit of your of the money you have in your pocket, and shake our hands and meet with us for a minute. We are located at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, so it's right off Burnside, in between Ankeny and Burnside on Southeast 8th. Back to Mary and Adrienne. Thank you so much for the conversation tonight. I'm really enjoying.
And thank you.
Thank you.
I just want to briefly say what KBOO has done for me. It's given me the platform to be able to talk about things like this, and you know, again, like Ender said, that the mainstream media doesn't talk about. It gives me that platform, and it also has given me the voice that so many don't have. Everybody knows that I'm an activist, and you know, I work very, very much with my community and the youth of my community, and this platform has given me a voice for those who can't speak for themselves. And I've mm-hmm. just, you know, I love working here. When I came in here, it was like meant for me to be here, is how I felt. So, you know, I want to hear the phones ringing, and I want you to donate to us. We need you. It's because of you that we're here, and it's because of you that we do what we do. So, you know, yes, thank you.
Yeah. So thank you both, Mary and Robin, for sharing part of how you, what happened as far as coming in, but getting out. Latasha, you were wanting to share as well.
Well, I think it was just my mom praying for me, having a praying mother that mm-hmm. when all odds was against me, she kept me lifted in prayer. It was God's grace and His mercy, and I'm so thankful because I give it all to Him, and that's mm-hmm. why I'm humble and I do the work that I do. It's because who better to do it than someone that's lived through it? It's like God brought me out mm-hmm. and I have to do the work to bring someone else out. I think I can't save everyone, but if I plant the seed, I may not even see it flourish.
Just one person.
Mm-hmm. You know,
it's like the starfish.
Exactly.
Story.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And so mm-hmm. I think, you know, that just whatever your higher power is, holding on to it and knowing that you want to do better. And when we were out there, there wasn't a lot of places that we could go. You know, there may have been someone spiritual that would come and pray with us or what have you, but there wasn't programs to say, you know what, I'm going to go out on 82nd, I'm going to call Backpage, and if I see a young woman that appears to be underage, I'm just going to say, you know what, I'm Latasha, I'm from Yaya, I'm a survivor. If you need to talk, if you need safe housing, whatever, I'm here to help you. Not saying that she'll take it right then and there, but she'll know if she ever get put in a situation, oh, I remember this young lady, you know mm-hmm. what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And to call, and it's all about just feeling confident in who we are today, because everything that we went through, God took us through so we could come and do the work that we're doing right now. It's not easy to sit here and to talk about some of the difficult things that we've been through in our lives.
And mm-hmm. it was a simple act of kindness for me when I was in the life. Mm. You know, we didn't have Backpage when I was out there. We had the block.
And what is Backpage?
We had the blade, the super slab, you know, and we had doggone shoes. We had a clickety-clackety, clickety-clackety up the street. And but it was the people, and it wasn't always church groups that came out. I mean, I remember the van come around with condoms and needles. I didn't use needles, but I took the condoms. And then it was the people who came out with hot chocolate, and they didn't preach, you know. And that's kind of what I've done when I've gone into the community, into the street outreach. I don't preach. I just show kindness and love.
And you have to meet people where they are.
Absolutely.
You have to come down to their level and get that mutual connection and start from there. You know, you can't go out and say, I'm a survivor and you should do this. Think about when we were out there. No one could tell us what mm-hmm. we needed to.
Oh, guess what? We have a call in. Mary called her up or basically said, Marcellia, call, and she is on the line. Go ahead, Marcellia.
Hi, Mom.
Hi, baby.
And everybody else.
Hi. Hi.
I wanted you to call me because I wanted my listeners to hear your side of it. What was it like for you, knowing that your mom was a prostitute? I mean, just keep it real.
I mean, kind of like Latasha's daughter, I felt exactly the same. It didn't really have, obviously I was never in the life, but I'm glad that you did tell me, and you told me early.
Mm-hmm. I did.
And I think everything that you've been through has affected me and made me think of situations that I've been in and have helped me think smarter, I guess.
Yeah, and that's what I want my listeners to hear, the young ladies and young gentlemen out there who may be facing this issue. What would you say to them, you know, if they feel like maybe there's nobody there for them? As a child of somebody who was in the lifestyle, what would you tell a child who may be facing these?
There's always someone there.
Absolutely.
Yes. At least one person. Mm-hmm. There's always one person there.
Absolutely.
And to never
give up. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love you, Mommy. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad that you called. I wanted everybody to hear your opinion, you know. So thank you very much for calling in. You know, people out there, this isn't just a Portland, Oregon issue.
Not at all.
This is all over the world.
Yes. And, it's global.
I have listeners that are listening in Germany, and I have listeners that are all over, and it's the same for you guys, too. If you know somebody who may be in a situation like this, or, you know, is headed towards that, or you just happen to notice the man or whoever that's courting them, for lack of a better word, isn't a very good person, you know, step in. And for those of you who are younger and you may be in that lifestyle, or you may see yourself falling into that lifestyle, remember that there's always somebody there for you. We have Latasha with Yaya, and we have Robin over here, and she works with LifeWorks. And, you know, even just Latasha's daughter and her niece are here. And, you know, there's always somebody that you can say something to. You know me. My name is Mary Polstowaite. I have people approach me on the street. If you see me and you have something you need to talk about, I am more than willing to talk about it with you, and we can go through the struggle together.
Yeah. And I'm Adrienne Livingston. Yes. I want to let you know that there is the National Human Trafficking Resource Center. There's a hotline. It's 888-373-7888. And as we said before, no one is immune. I was not in the life, but I look back on my life and look back when I was 12, 13, 14, and my goodness, there were times that I can pinpoint that, wow, had I gone that route, I could have been trafficked. And I'm not just saying that because we're on the radio. It is true. Also, about 2 years ago, someone approached me. At the time, I didn't realize that this person was a pimp or a pornographer, but when I learned of this issue at a Rotary Club, and it was a U.S. attorney giving a presentation on what is the profile of pimps. She said she basically showed the dollar bill that was on the business card, the business card that the guy had given me. And when he gave me that card, I thought, this is tacky. No true businessman would have a business card with a watermark of a dollar bill. And so when she put that image up, I was like, okay. And well, when he gave me that, and I realized, okay, that's tacky, but okay, here's a website. I'm going to look at this. Went to the website. It was a MySpace page. Okay, first of all, who looks at MySpace even 2 years ago, right?
Yeah.
Now, when she followed up and said, they recruit on MySpace, I was like, oh my goodness. Wow. I wish I didn't throw that card away. But at the time, I threw it away. But at this, I wish I had it, because I would have given it to law enforcement. But I say that to say that not even when we say, you know, they don't discriminate. They don't discriminate of age. They don't discriminate of socioeconomic background. No. They don't discriminate on religious or non-religious affiliation, period. It is all about the money. Mm-hmm. What they see is dollar signs.
Exactly.
Some of them don't even know how to read, but they know how to do math. These are psychological manipulators that are really, really good business individuals. Mm-hmm. So, you know, this is a very serious subject that we're talking about here. Now, what programs, where are the gaps? Where is the help needed at?
For me, I think it's the women who are trying to get out of the lifestyle. And not only should we educate our young, but once you have gotten out, let's say you're 17 and you're still a minor and you're in the life and you get out, there's all kinds of resources for you. Mm-hmm. You know, there's all kinds of people that open their doors. But once you turn 18, you go to jail, you know, and jail isn't always a place to reform somebody. I know, I've been there. You know, and there needs to be more help at that critical moment.
So there is help, and without going too much into the program, a lot of time women are getting arrested, and then instead of sending them directly to jail, there is a program called New Options for Women, and it is through LifeWorks Northwest, and they address mental health, chemical dependency, and they do case management and mentoring, and it is specific for women who are 18 and older. Programs aren't perfect, and there definitely needs to be a lot of, you know, improvement. I mean, we need housing specific for women and girls who have been sexually exploited, because
yes,
you go into an NA meeting or you go into an, you know, clean and sober community and you say, I was in the life, or I was on the street, men paid to have sex with me, the stigma, there is a stigma, and you can't get away from it. Even 15, 16 years out the life, there's still a stigma.
I had a young man in my house the other day that I was talking to, and it was interesting because the topic of sex trafficking had come up, and he looked at me and he said, you know, I don't know, because you can't turn a hoe into a housewife. Whoa. And I just looked at him, and he didn't know anything about me and, you know, my past. And I'm looking at him and I'm like, really? You know, I mean, because here I am and I take care of my kids, I do what I do, I'm not in the lifestyle anymore. Now I have to be completely 100% honest, that draw for the money has been there. It's there. When I see something and I can't afford it right off top, I'd be like, oh, you know. And that's, but I would never, I can't put myself back through that anymore. And the addiction of the money is a true addiction. It's like being on drugs. You know, it's nice to be able to get what you want when you want, how you want it. No, I don't have to worry about anything.
But so, question on that one too, because I was able to interview a person who was a pimp. He's no longer, and he's really trying to give back to the community. I asked him, I said, so when the girls that you had working for you made their money, did you give them anything or did you keep it all? And he, at first, this, he thought, he said, right. He said,
you could only see her face.
So he said, I gave them what I thought they needed. But then he quickly looked at me and said, no, I kept it all.
Yeah,
exactly. You asked what is needed. For Yaya, it's, I'm not like some of the bigger agencies. I'm independent. I'm doing the work from the ground up. So donations for things that I pass out, like condoms and all that, is needed. But what's really needed is for us to all do the work that we're doing and educate our community.
To listen, I mean, and to be there.
Because we're just right now in the Multnomah, you know, Portland metro area. This is happening in Salem, Albany, Kaisers,
yeah,
you know,
and worldwide.
Everywhere. Mm-hmm. We're getting smart and they're getting smarter. So each time they make a move, we have to be either step ahead of them or right next, you know, to them, making the same moves to save the lives of our youth.
Yeah, absolutely.
It does happen in those smart communities. It's because the internet. I mean, somebody can go be in La Grande and order off Backpage, and somebody's going to be able to just get there. There are programs. It's a Rebecca Bender Ministries has a virtual mentoring program, and they are trying to reach the rural communities and where there aren't resources.
Yes.
And so there's training for, you know, and not training, but mentorship and just get some wisdom and network with survivors through that mentoring program that Rebecca has.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, and once again, I want to say that, you know, there's the National Hotline for Human Trafficking and LaTosha Curry and Yaya. And, you know, to you out there listening, I want you to call in and to donate. If you want to get a hold of Yaya, it's yayaresources.org. The phone number is 503-875-1106. So call us.
Thank you,
Ryan. You know, donate $5. Keep these programs on. You know, there's a lot of people to be reached. Thank you very much. I'm Mary Postaway with Kitchen Table Conversation.
And I'm Adrienne Livingston. Thank you, Robin, and all the ladies that are here with this conversation tonight.
That's great.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Time is 7 p.m. You're listening to KBOO Portland. Next up is your Friday edition of Hard Knock Radio. I wanna go to beautiful.